Genesis chapter 22. As we said, it's been covered many times, and it's just so wonderful that I just love to go over some of the things, some of the highlights. In chapter 22, let's just begin reading from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give him into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, look at this. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb, or the lamb, for a burnt offering, for so. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Those descriptions, those things that God just mentions about Isaac. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The word there is Jehovah Jireh. He sees, he watches, he takes notice of everything. What a wonderful, wonderful story that we have before us. Just an amazing story where things that have happened to Abraham. In chapter 12, God basically goes to Abraham and asks him to leave his country and take his people and just leave and go to a land that God was going to direct him to, and to the land of Canaan. And Abraham doesn't seem to object, just gets up and does exactly what he's told. But God gives him all those promises that how he's going to bless him, he's going to bless his seed. And then he comes, and then, of course, in chapter 14, the fighting, over his nephew. And in chapter 15, we have the Abrahamic covenant confirmed. In chapter 12, all the blessings are promised, but in chapter 15, there is a covenant that God makes with Abraham, and of course, it's an unconditional covenant. And then, of course, it says, I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you. So he talks about how this seed is going to be flourishing, and through his seed, through Abraham's seed, the blessing is going to go to the whole world. So now, okay, so here Abraham is content and now, but the problem is, of course, he has no seed. And Isaac is his servant, faithful servant, yes, but he has no seed. Well, now, of course, as we have heard, Sarah is concerned. Abraham is close to 85, and then Sarah is close to 75, and Sarah says, hey, wait a minute, you know, this seed that God is talking about is not going to come out of me, so maybe you ought to go, and you ought to just have a seed through Abraham, my servant. Well, okay, maybe that's the way it should be. So, of course, the act of the flesh, so he goes and he takes Hagar for a wife, and then, of course, has a son named Ishmael. And Ishmael, of course, Ishmael means God heard their prayer. God heard their prayer. So here, Ishmael is just enjoying all the wonderful blessings that God has given to Abraham and so on. And there he is, but then all of a sudden, now he is close to being 100, and Sarah is close to being 90, and then God says, knock, knock, knock. Well, what's that, Lord? That's not your son. That's not the son of promise. Yes, he is your son. I'll bless him too. You know, but then that's not the one I'm talking about. Now what? Well, Sarah, of course, listens. Next year, this time, you're going to have your son, and Sarah is laughing. How could that be? Close to 90 years of age. After this, I'm going to have so, of course, we know that God was faithful in his promise, and all of a sudden, God, of course, through God, gives Abraham and Sarah power from above to bear his son. And that is, of course, a miraculous son. And here again, of course, God did it all. And of course, God does everything. Every child we have is done by the direct act of God, whether we, you know, acknowledge it or not. It's not by our own power. So we just take it for granted that God is the giver of life and death and all things. So here they have, of course, in a truly miraculous way, Isaac. Now, here's Isaac, wonderful son of promise. Through his seed, everyone is going to be blessed, truly blessed, spiritually blessed. So now, here he is. Well, now you have two sons. One is Isaac, and then the other one is Ishmael. Well, Ishmael has got to go. He is the son of the bond woman, the son of the flesh, and then there's this struggle between the flesh and the spirit, the son of the spirit. And as hard as it was, God said, you listen to Sarah, and of course, Ishmael left. Now, so what happened is, now here's Ishmael gone, and here's Isaac, the son of promise, and he is growing, and he's so precious. So precious to Abraham and Sarah. That's the only son they have. And that's the only son they're going to have. Of course, Abraham later on had other children, but wasn't that Abraham and Sarah are going to the promise. Here is Isaac, and he is growing, and he is the delight of the father and mother, and he is the one who is loved, who is truly, truly loved. So, now, all of a sudden, Abraham is given the picture or the foreview of the plan of redemption that is going to be typified what Abraham has to do, by what Abraham has to do to his son. He doesn't know this. And so he was given a very supreme test. Very, very supreme test. Without any explanation, take now thy son. Okay. Now look at this. Thine only son, Isaac. generation of other son, who that was. Wow, now he's completely just piercing right through. And offering for a burnt offering. Now, I don't know if the burnt offering at that time was the very same way, carried the very same way as the burnt offering that was described in Leviticus chapter 1. But it was a terrible, terrible, terrible way to sacrifice. The animal that were offered for burnt offering, they had to be skinned, they had to be cut in pieces, and all everything was to be laid on the altar and burned. And that brought glory and satisfaction to the Lord. I don't know if that was, but I imagine that it had to be burned. Certainly, nobody was going to touch that flesh. The amazing thing is that this was a demand that was not accompanied by a single word of comfort. But the Lord, you would think he would comfort Abraham, it's going to be all right, son. Look, I have been always faithful to you. I always tried to take care of you. No. Not a single word of comfort. When you think about Abraham, and it's not related to any stated reason. You can say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? You gave me this son after all these years, and now all of a sudden, you are asking me something that is, humanly speaking, impossible. I could never, never lay my hand on my son, much less. To give him such a terrible way. You're standing and watching burn. No stated reason. And then, of course, it's unconnected to any mention of any promise. No promise. If you give me, then this is going to happen and all. But then, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, later on, we read that he accounted that God was able to raise him up, that he received him in a figure. We read that. But when he was going to do this, there was no promise whatsoever. He did not know what he was going to do. All he could do is tell his men, look, we're going to up yonder and worship and come back. What did he know? The thing is, Abraham could not actually see ahead. Look back, we know Abraham and Isaac. Oh, everybody has heard about that. Abraham and Isaac, sure. Isaac was going to offer him, but then, of course, last minute, God intervened and so on. But he couldn't see it. You remember some other characters in the Bible that were about the same way, where they could not see the future? We have actually heard so much about Joseph. He couldn't see anything. All he could do is, he could just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. How can I sin against God? How can I sin against my God? He is Martha's wife, trying to seduce him to go and be engaged in immoral conduct. Couldn't see. And yet, what happened? Well, Abraham couldn't see. And what about Job? We're talking about Job this morning. Here he is. First, he loses all his possession. And then he, indeed, a man of God, all of a sudden he loses his children. And then he loses his health, living close to death. And then something else that he loses. Miserable confidence. He loses his reputation. And he said, Job, what of a time? was in what Abraham didn't know was his through this heartrending, demand that God made, he was showing how the foundation of divine purpose was to be based. And that was going to be based by the accomplishment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Judgment was going to come, not on any man, not on any animal, which animals they did, but on his own Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, heavens declare the majestic proclamation on the Mount of Transfiguration we have this morning. This is my beloved Son. And yet, his precious life had to be demanded. Guilt, all of man's guilt, was to fall upon God's beloved Son. What heart-rending demand God made of Abraham. And then we have Isaac. He loved his father. That's why he allowed his father to bind him. How old he was, certainly a teenager, not too old. A pretty strong, a pretty fast. And he was Abraham, pretty old, 100 some, 15, 18, who knows? And here he was. He could have escaped, or he could have struggled. We don't see any sign of that. They bind him and lay him upon the wood on the altar, and he was obedient. He was obedient. Such was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came. Who came? He said that the world may know. The world may know that I love the Father. As the Father has given me commandment, even so I do. Our lives are going square to the mount where he's going to give himself up to be put to death. Abraham. But then again, here Abraham is obedient. His heart crushing demand, yet he goes ahead and does it. How? I have no idea. And I know that God, who demands something, always gets the strength. God gave him that strength. And as I mentioned in Hebrews, we realized that here he was confident that life was going to be restored. But then God says, okay, now I know. Well, didn't God know before? Of course he did. But he's manifesting to the world the faith of Abraham. And again, let me just say something about faith. Faith is not a illusion of God. Our hope and faith is not something that we cannot reason. Well, we don't understand it fully, but we certainly can reason. Abraham was a man of faith. Did he ever doubt there was a God? God talked to him all the time. People say today there's no God. You have to be kidding. You asked Abraham if there was a God or not. You asked Abraham if he was willing to offer up his son, Isaac, because God wanted him. You asked him if he talked with God or not. All these, Noah, Elijah, you asked them. How about Moses? God speak to him like a friend, face to face. Yeah. And the children, how about the children of Israel? Oh, we want to stay away from him. When they saw his glory and his might, and experienced his might at Mount Sinai, and they called Moses, oh, you go ahead, we'll do. We'll do what you want. You think they didn't know there was a God? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. an answer to everyone that asketh me a reason of the hope that's in you. You have to have boldness to be able to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. We're not there. Our faith, our hope is not a leap in the dark. Oh, I don't know. I hope so. Oh, no. Salvation is real. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he said, you come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you must be with us. So now here's a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. This one was caught and held in a thicket, possibly could have been briars, could have been brambles, could have been thorns, could have been bushes, which grew upon the ground at that time. And in the Middle East, you see that basically two seasons, I say that two seasons, I'm not talking that hot and cold, and that is this. In summertime, it never rains. Never rains. This is why there's tremendous thirst in summertime, and rivers go dry a lot of times. Small rivers go dry. And in wintertime, it doesn't stop raining. On and on and on. And this is why the wells used to be so terribly precious. In fact, right before Genesis 22 and 21, we talk about how one of the wells that Abraham was restored to him, very, very precious indeed. And we have the well of Samaria and so on and so forth. So here is these bushes. You could see bushes and brambles just flying all over the place, just bundles of them, of thorns. I've been cut many times. So then the idea is here, once this animal is caught, it's not easily loosed. And the animal doesn't know really how to do this. It's just that it's caught. And then, of course, what did this ram come from? It's not known. Where in the world did the ram come from? Abraham didn't bring the ram with him. God didn't steal that ram from somebody else's field. He's the giver of blessing. He's not the taker of blessing. So where did it come from? Indeed, we know that it was extraordinary. And extraordinary, they're provided. Did God create that ram? He could have. Indeed, when it came to his son, the body has not prepared me. He could have. But the fact is, there was there. He had present. Presented to Abraham. And then, of course, he was the type of our Lord Jesus Christ, foreordained by God. Our Lord Jesus was foreordained by God before the foundation of the world. This morning we mentioned this. The Lord Jesus acknowledged his body was prepared by God before the foundation of the world. The body has that prepared me. But then that body that God created for him, prepared for him, he gave that body to us. Take ye, this is my body, which is given for you. What amazing. What amazing. And then, he gave that body to his children and persecutors also. This is your hour in the power of darkness. Whom seek ye? I am here. Oh, what gracious God. And he is very people that he came to save. They were taken and abused and just nailed to the cruel cross, the most base, the basest of executions. The Lord Jesus Christ was nailed as one of the worst criminals. The And then, of course, came into the world as an uncommon, in an uncommon way. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, again, Isaac. I mean, was he conceived by direct interference of God? The Lord Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And being born of a virgin. Let me just say one thing here about Virgin Mary. We know that some churches deify her. She was sinless, she was perfect, and all that, and the only thing I know is you cannot get a perfect child from imperfect parents. If she was completely perfect, that means the parents had to be perfect. That means her great parents had to be perfect all the way to heaven. But David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And so was Mary conceived in sin. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the thing is, what a lot of churches deify is wonderful, wonderful lady, wonderful, godly lady. What it meant to her to accept the fact that she was going to bear the Son. What it meant to her. And yet we, a lot of times, seem to distance ourselves from that poor, wonderful lady. And I think that we should really think about her testimony, wonderful, wonderful testimony. What a great, great lady she was. She was of the two ladies in the whole book, to my knowledge, was called Blessed. She was one of them, and Jael was the other one. So she was Blessed. Virgin. In the fullness of time, in due time, died for the sin of man. God's time. It had to be God's time. He had to come, and he had to die for the sin of man. Being caught in the thicket. Oh, what happened? Oh, yeah, he was caught alive. How was he caught? Well, in his case, maybe crown of thorns, not that he couldn't lose himself. But according to the covenant agreement with the Father. And he was held by that covenant voluntarily. If it be possible, he knew what was coming. If it be possible, his soul was going to be an offering for our sins. And God was going to distance himself from him. Forsaken. And voluntarily he agreed to that covenant for all the sins of the people that were laid on him by imputation. He carried every person's sin on God's cross. Every sin was laid upon him. Sins past, sins present, and sins future. And this is why the sorrows of death and hell had encompassed him at that time, and of course the curse of the righteous law which lay upon him. Yes. And now, by God's grace and love, the ultimate sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We don't need the sacrifices of animals. We don't need shedding of blood. We don't need any other sacrifice. It's all done. It's finished. It's done. It's completed. I have glorified the under. I have finished the work which thou gavest me. And now in return, he is glorified. He is glorified at the right hand of the throne of God. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, the name Jehovah. That in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.